1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 through 9. Yet we do speak wisdom among those who are mature, a wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are passing away. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory. The wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood, for if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love Him.
Dear viewing audiences, this is the seventh session of the message of the cross, and continuing from the last session, I will testify to why Jesus is our Savior. The content of this message is very important and is the essence for us to receive salvation and lead a powerful Christian life. For example, suppose there is an orange. If you just think it must be delicious only because others say so, it will not benefit you at all. Only when you peel it and eat it, can you feel the actual taste, and will you gain the benefit from its nutrients. It's the same with faith. You will not be saved only by knowing in your head that you will receive salvation when you believe in the Lord Jesus. You cannot lead a powerful Christian life just by saying, "I believe," just because others tell you to do so. You should clearly know the reason why only Jesus is our Savior and why you receive salvation when you believe in Him. Then you will gain spiritual faith so that the enemy, devil, and Satan cannot tempt you, and you will have the authority over the words when you preach. Today, I hope you will clearly understand why Jesus is our Savior and keep it in your mind, so that you will be able to give a clear answer when somebody asks you the question, why and how is it that Jesus is the only Savior? I pray in the name of the Lord that you will have the life of Jesus Christ in you, and you will be able to spread that life to many people. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, viewing audiences, for the mankind who are sinners to receive salvation, there must be the Savior who can redeem them from their sins. And to become the Savior, he must have the qualifications. I told you, the first condition is that he has to be a man. By the law of the redemption of the land, only a relative of Adam, a man, is qualified to redeem mankind from their sins. So you meet the first condition too. According to the law of the redemption of the land, only a human being who is a relative of Adam has the qualification. The history testifies to Jesus being born as a man, and he is qualified for the first condition. What was the second condition? I told you that he must not be a descendant of Adam. Because all Adam's descendants are sinners, they cannot redeem the sins of other sinners. I explained to you this point in the last session. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, why then are all Adam's descendants sinners? It is because Adam's descendants receive Adam's sin from their birth. Let me elaborate on this. When God created man, He gave Adam and Eve the seed of life. Briefly, God permits a new life be conceived by the combination of man's sperm and woman's egg. The life energy of parents is contained in the sperm and egg. the characteristics, personalities, dispositions, and appearances of parents are contained in them. So, the children who are born by union of the sperm and egg resemble their parents in the face, body shapes, personalities, and even habits. If the parents have a big body, their children also have big bodies. If the parents are hot-tempered, it is more likely that the children will be also hot-tempered. If the parents are mild and meek, usually their children are also mild. In some cases, the father passes away when his child is very young. But as this child grows up, he may display the walking posture, sleeping habits, and tastes of the dead father. The children resemble not only their parents, but also their grandparents. Likewise, the characteristics of the ancestors are passed down to their descendants and show up in succeeding generations. The characteristics, habits, and personalities are passed down to the descendants through the sperms and eggs of the parents. Of course, even from the same parents, children inherit some characteristics more than other characteristics. There are slight differences, but originally, they all receive the life energy of their parents. And in this life energy are contained the sinful natures. Since the fall of the first man, Adam, the sinful natures of the ancestors are passed down to the descendants. This is the original sin. Therefore, all descendants of Adam are sinners who have inherited the sinful nature of Adam from birth. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 says, "Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, this one man is Adam, and death through sin. And in this way, death came to all men. It is because the wages of sin is death, because all sinned." It explains to us that by the sin of one person, namely Adam, death came to all men. If I say, men are born as sinners, some might wonder, thinking, newborn babies are so clean and pure. What sins do they have? But if you look at them carefully, even little babies have evil in them. Even before they are 1 year old, we find evil in them. For example, even newborn babies, if their parents are hot-tempered, have anger to a great extent. When they are hungry, if they are not nursed quickly enough, they cry so much, with their faces turning red. They almost choke themselves on their tears. In that case, even if the mother gives her breast to the baby to nurse, the baby does not even try to suck it, but only cries with nervousness. They just shake their head. No. They refuse their mother's breast. They are trying to say, "Why do you nurse me so late? I am so angry that I don't even want to take the milk now." Who taught anger and nervousness to these newborn babies who cannot even communicate? It's not that somebody taught them or planted evil in them, but they were born with the sinful nature from their parents. I was from countryside, and I was studying in Seoul. So in vacations, I'd go back to my hometown. Then there are many babies. During my vacations, I used to carry Pastor Hyun-Gun-ju on my back. Because his mother was working in the field, I used to carry him to the field to his mother to nurse him, and I took care of him. A lot of times, he urinated on my back. I saw some babies were gentle. Although I didn't nurse them quickly, they would just cry for some time, and if they were given the milk, they would just drink it and smile soon. But some other babies would make such a fuss. They were so angry. One of them was Pastor Hyung Kwon-ju. Who planted this kind of anger and irritation in those newborn babies? Nobody taught them or planted evil in them. They were born with the sinful natures from their parents. Let me give you another example. What will happen if a mother hugs and loves another baby in front of her own baby? Most babies do not like it, and they try to pull that baby apart from their mother. They think, why is another baby hugged by my mother? In countryside, they used to nurse another baby just for fun. Then the babies cannot stand it. They come and try to pull the other baby away so that their mother will not nurse that baby anymore. Their feelings are hurt with a mind that says, why is another baby in the bosom of my mother and loved taking my mother's milk? If the baby cannot pull the other baby away from his mother, he gets angry at his mother and sometimes even hits her. If that still doesn't work, he will burst into tears. If the child has no sin, but only goodness and a clean heart, he will never show this kind of reaction. The truth is to share good things with others. So if another baby shares his own mother's milk, he should be happy about it rather than disliking it. The reason he dislikes it is because he has envy and jealousy and the greed that tells him that he alone should take the milk of his mother. Then who planted sins such as jealousy, envy, greed, irritation into this child? It is not planted by anybody, but the child is born with the original sinful nature coming down from Adam. That is why David says in Psalm 51 verse 5, surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Likewise, all men are Adam's descendants and are born with original sin, so nobody that is a human being can become the Savior. Even some diseases are inherited. Just think about it. In such a small seed of life, the gametes, the sperm and egg, which are too small to be visible, all things including the personalities, characters, appearances, habits, and everything is contained. Even some diseases are contained in such small seeds that are not even visible, and they are inherited. Some diseases are innate. It's so amazing. For example, the mother has a big lump or a birthmark. Then you can see that her child will have the same kind of birthmark or the lump on the same spot. It is so amazing. Everything was contained in such a small seed, and as the child grows up, he or she comes to have the same kind of birthmark or the same location. If something is wrong with the mouth of the parent, you can see the child also has something wrong with the mouth. Only one Jesus is a man, but not a descendant of Adam. How is it that Jesus is not Adam's descendant and is a man? Jesus, in the physical genealogy, is a descendant of David and his parents were Joseph and Mary. But Matthew chapter 1 verse 20 says, what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Namely, he was not conceived by sperm and egg, but by the Holy Spirit. And Matthew chapter 1 verse 23 prophesies, the virgin will be with child. If a married woman was with a child by the Holy Spirit, people would think it is not done by the Holy Spirit, but by the union of man and woman. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. The reason why men are born with the original sin is that they inherit the sinful nature of their parents through their sperms and eggs. But Jesus was not conceived by the sperm of Joseph or the egg of Mary, but only by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Almighty God could conceive Jesus with the power of the Holy Spirit without the union of the sperm and egg of man. Both Joseph and Mary are Adam's descendants, but Jesus only borrowed the body of Mary. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, so he did not receive any life energy of the sinners. Thus, Jesus is not Adam's descendant and has no original sin. Among all men on earth, the only one who was conceived by the Holy Spirit is Jesus. Even the great men in this world are descendants of Adam and sinners, so they can never become the Savior. Therefore, only Jesus can become the Savior for mankind. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, here there is one more thing you should remember. Although the Virgin Mary had Jesus, she can never become the mother of Jesus. Let us say, we plant the fertilized egg into a machine and raise it for 10 months. Then, does the baby have to call this machine mother? Of course not. Of course, Mary was such a good and loving woman that she could be chosen by God to bear Jesus. She loved God, but still, Mary is just a creature, and she can never become Jesus' mother. Therefore, in the Bible, there is not a single occasion in which Jesus calls Mary mother. Sometimes, his disciples wrote, Mother of Jesus, but it was just from the viewpoint of the disciples. For example, John chapter 19, verse 26 says, when Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, Dear woman, here is your son. Here the phrase, his mother, was written by John, and Jesus called Mary, woman. In John chapter 2, verse 4, at the wedding banquet of Cana, Jesus said, Dear woman, why do you involve me? Jesus replied, My time has not yet come. But some people call Mary Holy Mother and even bow down to her and pray to her only because she gave birth to Jesus. But Jesus is the Son of God, and the object of our worship and prayers must be only to God the Trinity. If she is the Holy Mother of Jesus, then who is God, whom Jesus calls Father? How dare they can say it? Then what is God in that sense? But God says, I am who I am. He was not born by anybody. He exists by himself. God has existed since before the eternity, throughout eternity. He is the Alpha and Omega, and beginning and end. Our Lord was divided out from the original God. If this Lord has mother, then what is God the Father? It does not make any sense. One sister from a branch church asked me a question. Senior pastor, I gave the book, Message of the Cross, to a Catholic priest, and he read it. Then he asked her the following question. How did Jesus call Mary when he was a young boy, while he was growing up? Wouldn't he have called her mother? Then she couldn't answer. I hope you will answer him listening to this message. Jesus knew everything since his birth. So, you find a record. When he was 12, he debated with the scribes, teachers of the law, and other scholars of the Bible at the temple. They were all surprised. He was only 12, but he spoke about the Bible with thorough knowledge. He already had thorough knowledge of the Bible only when he was 12. Then it's the same with the Virgin Mary. She received the revelation even before she conceived Jesus. Even after she conceived him, she received the revelations. God's angel told her about the child, that who he was. So she kept it in her mind. The Bible tells us she also heard a revelation from the mother of John the Baptist about the baby she conceived. She knew that the baby she conceived was the Holy One. She knew very well that he wasn't conceived by making love. She already knew that he was the Holy One and was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Then, how would she have taught the child? Did she teach him that she was his mother? It doesn't make sense that way. She would never have done that. She knew who he was, and how dare she could teach him that she was his mother while he was growing up? Of course not. Wouldn't it be so? Many people misunderstand this. Because Joseph was a carpenter, they say that Jesus helped his parents and did the carpentry work. But please think about it. It's only human thought. Is it written in the Bible? No. It's only human thoughts. While our Lord was growing up, until he became 30, to begin his ministry, he used to go up to the hills at the back of the village in Nazareth to pray and meditate on the Word of God, waiting for his time to come. He always looked up to God, prayed, and meditated on the Bible because he knew his time. He was waiting for that time. Would he have done carpentry work for other people, building houses, and so on during such precious time? It's only human thoughts. I hope preachers will correct what they are preaching if they are listening to this message on the internet and through cassette tapes. But some people call Mary Holy Mother and even bow down to her and pray to her only because she gave birth to Jesus. But Jesus is the Son of God, and the object of our worship and prayers must be only to God the Trinity, your brothers and sisters in Christ. The third condition for the Savior is that he must have the power to win over the enemy devil and Satan. If you want to rescue prisoners of war in a battle, you must have the strength to bring them back from the enemy. Spiritually, to save those who belong to the enemy devil, we must have the strength to win over the enemy devil and bring those people back. But even very strong men who have strong bodies cannot win over the enemy devil. Here, the power to win over the enemy devil is not physical, but spiritual power. The power in spiritual realm comes from having no sin. Just as the darkness goes away when light comes, those who dwell in light completely, without any darkness, have the power to win over the evil spirits that belong to darkness. There are two kinds of sins, original sin and self-committed sins. The original sin, as I already explained, refers to the sinful nature coming down from Adam. It is the original sinful nature inherited from the parents. Self-committed sins are the sins that you commit yourself in your life. People commit many kinds of big and small sins in their lives. Not only those who commit grave sins, but those who commit negligible sins are also sinners. James chapter 2 verse 10 says, "For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it." We should not think, this is something light, so it's okay. If you can keep big things, you can keep small things more easily. So you can keep everything. If you say you can keep just big things and you don't have to keep small things, it doesn't make sense. If you violate just one of the many laws, you are already a sinner. Furthermore, the worldly people do not consider it sin unless it is shown as action, but spiritually, just by having a sin in one's heart, although it is not shown as action, he is already a sinner. 1 John chapter 3 verse 15 says, "Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer." Dear brother, why do you murder? Oh, senior pastor, when did I murder? But please understand this clearly. And you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. If you hate a brother, you do not have eternal life in you. It means you will not be saved. To hate a brother is to murder him spiritually. Then the murderer has no eternal life in him. He will not receive salvation. Only if you hate your brother in your heart, you are a sinner, just like a person who murders his brother out of his hatred. It is the word of our God and the Lord to love even our enemies. Also, Matthew chapter 5, verse 28 says, "But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart." So if you just have the greed in your heart, you are a sinner, just like a thief, because you have the evil desire in you. Likewise, a person who has committed a sin even once in their heart or in action does not have the power to redeem mankind from their sins. Everyone born after Adam is a sinner who has the original sin, and everyone commits sins themselves. There is nobody who can boldly say, "I have never committed a sin either in action or in heart." Thus, nobody has the qualification to become the Savior. Only Jesus has neither original sin nor self-committed sins. So he has met this condition to become the Savior. Jesus is not Adam's descendant, so he has no original sin. He does not have any self-committed sins either, because he kept all the law of God completely from his birth through his crucifixion. Starting from being circumcised on the eighth day, he never did anything that was not truth in his heart and action. Therefore, Hebrews chapter 7 verse 26 refers to Jesus, "Such a high priest meets our need, one who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens." Also, 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 22 says, "He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth." All Only Jesus is holy and has no evil, and He is the only one who committed no sins. Because Jesus had no sin at all, He had the power to save mankind from the enemy devil and Satan, and He was not subject to the curse of the law that dictates the wages of sin is death. That is why, even though He died on the cross, He could break the authority of death and resurrect. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, because Jesus had no sin, He could break the authority of death, save sinners, and rule over everything with His spiritual authority. Not only the enemy devil and Satan, but also diseases, germs, and infirmities submitted to Him. When those who were suffering from evil spirits came before Jesus, He commanded the evil spirit to go away. Then the evil spirit had to leave, obeying His word. When Jesus commanded, even diseases and germs left. The blind, deaf, mute, and the lame recovered healthy bodies by the command of Jesus. But it doesn't mean Jesus commanded anybody. He commanded only those who had the faith to receive the answer when they were away from sins. When the lame and paralytic came, what did Jesus do? When He said, "Your sins are forgiven," the lame took his mat and went back walking. They were healed when their sins were forgiven. You have been seeing so much that because of some walls of sin against God, people couldn't receive the answer. Those who really repented and received prayer were healed completely. You heard so many testimonies of this kind. So, at the time of Jesus too, there were many blind men, there were many lame and mute too. But our Lord didn't heal all of the blind men. The Bible tells us how He healed one blind man and how good a heart that blind man had. He had such an upright and truthful heart without deceit. It tells us how true a heart He had. So even before threats of life, namely if He admitted that He came to see because of Jesus, they could have killed Him too. His parents were cowardly, and they didn't want to admit that Jesus healed their son. They just told the people to ask their son himself. But this man boldly answered. He answered, Jesus had healed him. He said, "Why do you not know it? Unless He came from heaven, how could He have me see?" He answered, bravely, even before threats of life. Because he had this kind of truthful and upright heart and integrity, our Lord met him and healed him to see. The same goes for demon-possessed people. Because these people blasphemed or stood against the Holy Spirit, demons did not leave them. Otherwise, we can just command them to get out, and they will have to go away. Also, all things of the heaven and earth obeyed before the authority of Jesus, who had no sin. When Jesus rebuked the wind and commanded the sea to calm down and be still, the wind stopped and the sea calmed down. This law in the spiritual realm applies to not only Jesus but also to all God's children who believe in Jesus. 1 John chapter 5 verse 18 says, "We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who was born of God keeps him safe, and the evil one cannot harm him." The one born of God refers to our Lord and also the Holy Spirit. So, because you are protected by the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, no diseases strike you, and you are protected from all disasters. For example, you have a big wound on your body. Then, in worldly view, you have to sterilize it, get a shot, or wrap some bandage. But what do our members do? Those with faith would just leave the wound. They just expose it in the air. There are so many germs in the air, and medically speaking, what would happen to that wound? They shouldn't do it. But why do you just leave it and expose it in the air? You don't even get a shot or put some medicine. You just leave it. But still, the wound is healed and closed cleanly. Why? The fiery walls of the Holy Spirit protect you. You are children of God, and I always pray to God to protect you with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, so the germs in the air cannot infect you. You experience this numerous times. That's why it's said, the one who is born of God keeps him safe, and the evil one cannot harm him. Namely, those children who are born of God are protected by the one who is born of God, namely the Lord, so that the enemy devil and Satan cannot harm them. But you must have the spiritual power, not by not committing sins, so that the evil spirits will not dare to harm you. No matter how long you have believed in God and led a Christian life, and you have many titles in church, you do not have spiritual power if you still live in sins. Even if you pray to drive away evil spirits in the name of Jesus Christ, tests and trials do not leave. Just as insects gather around dirty pools, the enemy devil keeps on working and giving hard times to people. But even a small child, if he loves God and lives according to God's word, he too has spiritual power. If the child commands in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil obeys and goes away. If you truly live in the truth and accomplish a holy heart accompanied with deeds, darkness will go away from your life, and even when you pray for other people, God's work will be manifested. I experienced this kind of thing countless times. Before I believed in God, not only myself, but also my children constantly suffered from disease, so we had to spend so much money on hospital bills and medications. But after I accepted the Lord, until this day, I have always dwelled in God's Word and lived a life outside of sins, so diseases and infirmities left not only myself, but also my family members as well. Since we accepted God, none of our family members have been to the hospital or taken any medicine. I've never had an injection or anything. It is the same with my children. Since their birth, they never got any injection, took any medicine, or went to a hospital. Even before I became a minister, I prayed on my children when they got sick. Then the disease left them immediately and they were healed completely. Also, in the case of those who are demon-possessed, they recognize people with spiritual power more accurately than ordinary people. When those who are demon-possessed make a fuss, they tremble with fear and just calm down when I approach them. Once I experienced that from the moment I left my home to drive away the demon from a person at some other place, the demon calmed down and was afraid. When a sinless person prays in the name of Jesus Christ, not only diseases, germs, and evil spirits, but also lifeless things obey him. Just as the Lord calmed down the wind and the sea, by praying in the name of the Lord, we can stop the pouring rain or change the weather, or when we pray for those who are poisoned by carbon monoxide, the lifeless gas obeys the command and leaves. You've seen this many times. Nowadays, not many people use briquettes. But before the main heating was briquettes, so many people died during the winter because of toxic gas. So in the beginning of the church, when those who lost their consciousness because of gas poisoning came before me, and if I prayed for them, they would get well in just a couple of minutes. They didn't have any side effects. So some of our workers here were revived like that. Just by one command, even the gas obeyed and left. Also, when you get a burn, how painful the burning sensation is. You suffer so much. But if I pray for you, the heat, the burning sensation goes away immediately. When I pray for those with burns, I first pray for the burning sensation to go away, and at this time, the heat obeys the prayer and leaves the body, so there is no more pain. Most of our members are witnesses who have seen, heard, and experienced these things. Just by seeing these works, we can realize that spiritual power and authority comes from having no sin. Viewing audiences, I explained the second and third conditions to be the Savior. The Savior must not be Adam's descendant, and he must have the power to win over the enemy, devil, and Satan. The last and fourth condition is that he must have the love even to sacrifice his own life. Let me conclude the message. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, from the beginning of human history, there was nobody who was qualified to become the Savior. All men are sinners who inherited the sinful nature of Adam through the sperm and egg of their parents. Even the great men, Buddha, Confucius, or Socrates, had the original sin as descendants of Adam, and they could not live a holy life before God. I once heard a story of a person who was said to have gained enlightenment and actually earned a lot of respect from other people. He kept his toothpick after using it to use it again later. This means he uses small toothpick again and again, but his attendant threw it away. So he got very angry at him. This was intended to say that he was very thrifty. But how can we say he was a righteous man, since he could not even control his anger and embarrass the person who was serving him only because of a toothpick? Also, a person who was respected so much worldwide suffered from many kinds of diseases for a long time. He finally faced death due to disease. Likewise, there are those who are greatly acknowledged in this world, but they cannot even solve their own problems of sin. And because they have no special power, they cannot drive away darkness. I hope you will clearly understand that only Jesus has neither original sin nor self-committed sins. And so He alone has the qualification to save us. Therefore, as said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, "Be holy because I am holy." I pray in the name of the Lord that you will live a holy life, so that the evil one will not even be able to touch you, and you will dwell in peace and blessings. I will pray for all those who are sick. Place your hand on sick parts and infirmities of your body and receive this prayer. If you are not ill, place your hand on your chest and receive this prayer for the desires of your heart. The work of the Almighty God transcends time and space. He will also work according to your faith. No matter where you are, when you receive this prayer in faith, you will surely experience the astonishing power of God. Hallelujah, the Almighty God of love, lay your hand on all your children, on all GCN viewers who receive this prayer on television. Lay your hand and manifest your work that transcends time and space on every viewer who receives this prayer in faith in every corner of the world. Give each of them the faith by which they can believe, and drive out all the power of negative thoughts and doubts. Drive out all trials and sufferings, scorched by the fire of the Holy Spirit, and cleanse with the blood of our Lord from head to toe, the five viscera and the six entrails, each joint, and all nerves, tissues, and cells. Manifest the most high power of creation. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy, devil, and Satan, all diseases, bacteria, and weaknesses, go away. All contagious diseases, go away. All terminal diseases, endemic diseases, and newly discovered diseases, be scorched by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Be cleansed, be strengthened. Let there be healing of gastric cancer, lung cancer, uterine cancer, intestinal cancer, and skin cancer, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, heart diseases, lung diseases, all kinds of women's diseases, hypertension, diabetes, skin diseases, and inflammation. May polio, paralysis, arthritis, and herniated disc be healed and made perfect. May the pain from lumbago, headache, and neuralgia disappear. May all after effects from a variety of accidents be cleansed and made perfect. May cold, flu, fatigue from sickness, and thyroid diseases be scorched by the fire of the Holy Spirit and be cleansed. Epilepsy, autism, depression, nervous breakdown, and all kinds of mental diseases go away. May all darkness be driven away, and let there be joy and peace in their hearts. Father God, by the most high power of creation, may all that is weak be made perfect and whole again. May all that is paralyzed become loosened, and may the crippled walk and jump. May the dimmed eyesight be brightened. May those with troubled hearing hear well. May the blind receive sight. May the deaf come to hear. May the mute begin to speak. Father, bless those who are unable to conceive. Rejoin broken bones, and make perfect and whole all burned parts of the body. Cleanse by the fire of the Holy Spirit those who suffer from addiction of narcotics, drugs, toxicants, and poison. May the dead and dead nerves and cells revive. May all darkness be forced away, and may all evil spirits be driven out. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil and Satan, and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, go away. May all their messengers be also driven out. May all the power of darkness, evil and wicked spirits, dishonest and crafty spirits, estranging and deceiving spirits be driven out. May all chains of injustice be loosened, darkness go away. May the light come. Father God, strengthen their spirits as well as their flesh. Give them the strength to call out to you. Give them the strength to throw away their sins and become sanctified. As each of their soul gets along well, may all in life go well with them, answer the desires of their hearts, imploration and prayer. Add faith, hope, and love, and may their families also come to hear and believe in the good news. Protect them from accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead prosperous lives without hindrance. Protect all God's children at home, work, and business with the fiery wall of the Holy Spirit and the eyes of the Lord that are like blazing fire. Bless them whether they come in or go out, and bless them to lend to many people but borrow from no one. Give them wisdom and understanding, and allow them to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Give all ministers and workers of the Lord the ability to carry out the tasks you have given them. May there also be great revival at each church. Lead your children so that they may give glory to you, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do in life. Manifest your work so that their lips may testify, I have met him, I have experienced God, I have received his answers, and I have received God's blessing. Father God, I thank you. May you alone receive all the glory. I pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.